Today on Real Radio.
And Christians never storm embassies or begin to behead people because Jesus, his name was used as a curse word. We don't need to defend our God. If we needed to defend our God, then we got the wrong God, my friends. Our God is well able. Our God is enthroned. Our God will someday, by his own power and his own might, settle the score.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at the first seven verses of this New Testament letter. It speaks of how the Almighty orchestrates events, even adverse situations, in the lives of his people for our growth and for his glory. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable.
And we need to know that today, church. Listen, I'm speaking to the Christian this morning. You may be a non-Christian today. Maybe you've come in here. And you're visiting, I don't know, it doesn't matter. You just sit still, you listen. But Paul's announcement, Paul's message is predominantly for the Christian. But listen, if you're a non-Christian today, I want you to be listening, thinking, and then coming to a conclusion because you should become a Christian by the end of this message. I just want to warn you right up front. You say, that'll never happen to me. I'm not asking you. I'm not inviting you today to become religious. I'm inviting you today to know Jesus. Big difference. I'm not asking you to join this church today. We have no membership. There are people here from all walks of life, from all kinds of denominations. Some people here, absolute atheists. But the Bible's going to go out this morning. No, I don't believe in the Bible. It doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe. The Bible is true. It is God's word, and it is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and God will speak to you to such a point that at the end of the message, you will have to decide, not me, not those around you, you will have to decide if this is the God that you will want in your life when suffering and hardship and difficulty comes. Thank God our God's real. Let me add this, and if I sound a little sarcastic about it, it's because it is a holy sarcasm. You and I follow a God who defends us with the ultimate defense. That is, though we may perish in this world, because this world is not all that there is, he takes us into heaven guaranteed. Our God saves. Our God does not need us to riot embassies or torture people or somehow defend to the death the Bible or Jesus or Peter, Paul, or Mary, James, or John, or anybody else. Do you understand that? Our God is alive. He takes care of himself. He is mighty and he is strong. And he doesn't need human efforts to defend him. He's for real. Our God is not threatened when someone mocks Christianity or puts forth a portrait of Jesus covered in human waste and then declared to be art. And Christians never storm embassies or begin to behead people because Jesus, his name was used as a curse word. We don't need to defend our God. If we needed to defend our God, then we got the wrong God, my friends. Our God is well able. Our God is enthroned. Our God will someday, by his own power and his own might, settle the score. Until that time comes, we are Christians in a world that is hostile towards Christ and towards the gospel and toward us. And that is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's his assurance. And Timothy, our brother, God always brings faithful brothers and sisters into the cause. He writes to the church of God, which is out Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, that is the region of Greece and beyond. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, happy, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation or troubles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or tribulation with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, you need to ask yourself a question there. Does the sufferings of Christ abound in me? So our consolation also abounds through Christ. I need to ask myself, am I being comforted by Jesus personally? Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation, yours and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast. It is certain, immovable. Why? Because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, well, I got good news for you, he says, also you will partake of the consolation. This is part two of our study. We got into the introduction and we looked in our first point last time about this might mean a little bit of being uncomfortable as a believer, that in this world we're going to have difficulties. And we looked at this, where's God when it hurts? We looked at that question and that's where we started, and we'll leave from this point and go into the second. But just by way of review, three things we considered. And all of us have either been tempted to ask this question in our lives, or we've had someone ask us when some difficulty comes into our lives. Where's God when it hurts? Where is he? Where is your God of love? If God is a God of love, then why this? If God is a God of love, then why are these things happening? The Bible answers every one of those questions. Quite frankly, the world should not be walking around this morning without answers. They're asking the questions, but far too many Christians are not given the answers, frankly, because Christians are not being either A, taught, or they're not listening. But as Paul said, I am persuaded of better things concerning you. We need to be strong and be ready to give people the answer. And listen, we gave three answers that are all wonderfully important. Number one, we saw in verse 3 that God is enthroned in heaven above, and we want him to be enthroned in heaven above. We want to have this emotional response. No, I want to see God's face in front of me. I want to see him now appear in my bedroom to walk me through the problems. Listen, God is enthroned in heaven. Number two, we know this. We learned in verse 4 that he's where the trouble is. And listen, everybody, take a deep breath right now. Oh, it feels good. Let it out. Are you in trouble? Yes, Pastor, I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. Jesus appears where the trouble is. Our God being real shows up to every scene, every issue, every moment of trouble. Our God is there. The Christian need not ever worry if our God will be there or not. He will be there. Many of us know him the most in times of great difficulty, which led us to the third thing to consider under this first point, where's God when it hurts, was found in verse 4, and it's this: he's here where it hurts. Jesus is in the hospital. Jesus is in the ambulance. Jesus is at the scene of the accident. Jesus is right now in your heart. We saw that the word means that wherever there is turmoil, wherever there's pressure, remember that the word tribulation or trouble was the exact same word. It means that wherever there is the pressing, the pressing difficulty, the pain of dealing with something. Could be finances, could be health issues, could be interpersonal challenges, could be a broken relationship. Doesn't matter what it is. If you've got troubles, then Jesus is right there in the midst of those troubles. Then why, oh why, do you and I have a hard time sometimes finding him, seeing him in the midst of trouble? I'll tell you right now the answer. Our emotions often rise up so quick that we are blinded. That we are often blinded. Right in front of us. Have you ever, now look, Lisa's not here right now, so I can say this. Notice how thoughtfully and how long I paused before. I did it this morning. I'm looking for something. I gotta go. Lisa, I gotta go. I'm in a hurry. Look, it's just us, I'll tell you. Where's my deodorant? I can't find the deodorant. Where's the deodorant? I can't go without deodorant. And she's looking like this. And I'm going like this. Where's the deodorant? And she goes, I look at her and she goes, don't you care if I have deodorant? And she's looking right at me like this. She just goes, she just points. It's right on the counter. It's right there. It could have had a light on it going, deodorant, deodorant, right here, right here. What's the deal? It was right in front of me. I was looking for that which I needed, and it could have hit me, and I wouldn't have recognized it. And God is there in our troubles. He's right there, and we're going, I need help. I need comfort. I need somebody to come by and burp me and change my diaper and make me feel better. And God is saying, hello, right here. Why does that happen? God is there in the midst. He's there when it hurts. He's right with us. But we miss him. Number two, jot it down in our notes today. Verses 5-6, we pick it up right here. Why do good people have to suffer? Verses 5-6. Why do good people have to suffer? Look at verse 5, mark it down. Because suffering brings awareness. Hey, don't think only bad people are supposed to suffer. Listen, this is going to go over like a ton of bricks right now. Bad people do suffer. But they're suffering, God is using it to bring them to faith in Christ. But if this morning, if you claim to have faith in Christ, and if you do have faith in Christ, then listen, suffering brings awareness. And we're going to dissect what that means this morning. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, that is not only the apostles, that is not only the apostle Paul, it is the disciples of Jesus Christ, i.e., that is the church at Chino Hills. If the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, the comfort, the presence, the ministry of Jesus also abounds through Christ. That means it's ours. In the midst of our suffering, Jesus is ministering right there. But church, listen, cheer up. In the midst of your suffering, all of these pressures, it is to bring an awareness. The believer is to have an awareness. It is a powerful thing. Listen to this. Suffering always opens our eyes and heightens our awareness. Can someone say amen to that if you've ever suffered? Amen to that, I say. I could be having a wonderful, glorious day and all is well. But when something really, really, really challenging happens in my heart and my life, what does it cause me to do? It causes me to immediately think upon the word of God. Oh, like this. Oh, Lord, where are you? Or Jesus, let me see you in this. Isn't that the whole premise behind the book of Job? God, where are you? And God was there. In fact, before Job was ever afflicted, the whole scenario was already in the amazing throne room of God being thought out. Nothing's going to happen to you, Christian, you believer, without God's first plan. Our eyes are opened. Our awareness is heightened during a time of suffering and sorrow, our sensitivity, our alertness. Some have said it's the expectancy. Suffering causes us to expect God to comfort and to bring his power to the issue. True, deep, lasting blessings, we all want them, but they are born through suffering. Somebody might say, why do God's people, though? Let's be specific. Why do God's people have to suffer? Aren't we Christians after all? Why do we have to suffer? Because God builds character in the life of the believer that can only come not by reading a book, not by being really nice. All those things are sweet. All those things can be very beneficial. But when God's people suffer, it builds character. Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before, that is the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the, what? Scriptures might have hope. What's the greatest way for you to have hope in the midst of a time of great trial and difficulty? It is knowing the Bible. There's no substitute. Know the Bible. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Do people do this anymore? I don't know. I haven't been to a Christian bookstore in years. I just buy everything online now. But back in my day, back in the 70s and 80s, as a Christian, we had everywhere memorization cards, scripture memorization cards. Do they even sell those anymore? You can buy them and you put them all over the place. I used to take tape, double-sided, or make it double-sided. And in my apartment, I had Bible verses all over my apartment. At the door, before I opened the door, there were verses there. When I shaved, literally, not kidding, not a joke. When I would shave in the morning, I had in the mirror verses around the mirror that when I would look in the mirror, there, my face was surrounded by Bible verses, memorization cards. And by the way, you like that, huh, Todd? You like that? Yeah, you do that. And there were verses that were needed for issues of my life. Think of that. Whenever there's trouble and difficulty, it heightens our awareness. Suffering brings an awareness of what God is about to do. True believers will, listen, experience suffering in some way, shape, or form that gives honor to Christ. That's what that verse means. Sufferings are needed, and we can experience them in a million ways. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound. Boy, let me tell you something. As Christians, listen, everybody, you're not going to say amen to this, but this is a reality. We are to be praying, Lord Jesus, according to thy mercy, may the sufferings that you have ordained for my life abound in my life for your glory. Man, let me tell you, that takes some faith. I didn't say I just prayed it. I'm just teaching you right now about it. No, but you know what? I constantly struggle with the boldness and with the confidence and with the faith. Lord Jesus, please make me, cause me, help me to pray that kind of a prayer. To pray, Lord Jesus, I'm a Christian and I bear your name in all of the earth. And I'm asking you, Lord God, I know that eternity is real and this time here on earth is but for a brief moment. I'm asking you to get me through the issues of working with people, the issues of family, the issues of finances, the issues of health. Bring me through all of these difficulties. Lord, may the sufferings of Christ that's prepackaged, ordained, and father-filtered by you, O God, according to your tender mercies, be upon my life in Jesus' name. Am I praying this prayer? It's to be the prayer of the Christian. Don't we want to see the glory of God? Yes! It must come through suffering. Hebrews 4:14 says, listen to this. And by the way, non-believer, before I read the verse, do you have a God like this? Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Stay at it. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How awesome is that? Are you in need? Yes, I am. Are you scared? Yes, I'm scared. Are you in trouble? Listen, run to Jesus. Go now. Run quick to Christ. He's real. And you run to him and you cry out to him. This week, in our own community, maybe you saw or read it, where a young woman was killed in an accident. Imagine, she was in her young 20s, was she not? And immediately, like you, when you saw the traffic scene or read about it in the paper, your mind immediately goes, oh, those parents. That's my first thought. Oh, those parents. And then, where is she? I want you to think about that for a moment. Every one of us, according to the Bible, and you know down deep inside that there's an eternal part of you. It's the part of you that asks the questions, is there life after death? Is Jesus real? Is this all there is to life? That is the eternal you on the inside crying out. But there's an eternal heaven, and the Bible says there's an eternal hell. And in this world now, a decision is to be made. Do you have a high priest who represents you before the Father, which is in heaven, and says, Father, Jack believes in me. He may be a weirdo. He may be a goofball. He may be a nincompoop. He may have a purple shirt on, but he trusts me. He believes, Father, that I died on the cross for his sins and that I rose again from the grave. And I have the entrance into heaven. And the Bible says it is a bold, confident entrance into the kingdom of God. That's radical. That's Christianity. Verse 5 says, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. If we suffer, and I said this last week, please mark it down. Whatever we are suffering, know this, God will never have his comfort level be less than your suffering level. The comfort will always be greater than the suffering. That's why the Bible says he will not allow you, Christian, to go through something that is too much for you to bear. Why? Because it's prescribed by God. He'll walk you through it, and his comfort will always be greater than the trauma. If your husband has abandoned you, God's comfort available now is greater than the pain that you're suffering. There will be pain, and you'll go through that pain. But Jesus will grab your hand and walk you through it. He's promised to do that. Our God lives. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that is in the flesh. God took on human skin, which is less than angel power at this time. Why? For the suffering of death, showing us that there's more, because it says, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting, it was right, it was proper for him who, in whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, that's, don't worry, girls, it's sons and daughters, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through suffering. What does that mean? Jesus Christ suffered in human skin, felt every pain that you and I could ever feel in this life, programmed by God, so that when you go through it, Jesus knows what it feels like and then communicates to you and I know exactly how you feel in being abandoned. I know exactly how you feel in being misrepresented. I know exactly how you feel when they stick that needle in your side or in your neck or whatever they're cutting open. I know exactly how you feel. Oh my goodness, this last week I heard of someone here, I don't remember who it was, but they had surgery and they had to remove someone's leg because of diabetes. And they put the person under. This is a nightmare. I can't believe this. Thank God they didn't feel anything. But they were out, but they heard everything. When they came out of surgery, they heard it all. They heard everything during the entire, they heard the jokes. They heard what the doctor was going to do on Friday. They heard it all, and they heard their leg being cut off. Thank God they didn't feel anything, but they heard it. Oh, man, Jesus, take me home. You say, what'd you tell me that story for? That just ruined my life. Guess what? That person will be very, very much able to comfort those who are going through sufferings like you and I cannot relate to. Jesus went through it all to comfort you and I in our moment of peril and difficulty. Very important. Just remember this. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. That's a command, by the way. Are you guys with me? You're awful quiet. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable, taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians. This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book, written by Paul, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's series, The Parables of Jesus, and we'd like to remind you that it is still available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, I just thought it was a fascinating series, and I'm sure you did too. Well, you can hear that collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, again from the beginning, and as many times as you'd like, for that matter. And they're yours on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know just what to do. It's real easy. We really would like you to get your hands on this, The Parables of Jesus MP3 CD. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.